Well, I'm so glad to be able to be here with you all tonight on the first Thursday of 2022. It kind of seems almost surreal, doesn't it, that we're here? But I'm so grateful to be able to spend the time with everyone here tonight and those watching online. We always say we love doing life with you, and it's true. We love doing life with you. And tonight is no different, so we're glad that you're here. So I've been seeing on Facebook these 10-year challenges. Is anyone on Facebook and have seen those? So I thought I'd share with you mine tonight. It went perfectly along with my message tonight. So there we are 10 years ago. I was very pregnant with Addison. She will be 10 in a month. I can't believe it. And then the picture on your right is actually just last week we took family pictures. So there's our 10-year challenge. And I look at all these 10-year challenges and I think, man, it's amazing how much we can change in 10 years, isn't it? So much has happened between that first photo and the second photo in the 10 years. And it's amazing the changes that we can see, not only physically, but in our lives spiritually and emotionally. And we can change a lot in 10 years. We change a lot in 5 years. We can change a lot in a month, a week, even a day, right? And with the changes that we go through that are all around us, I'm thankful that today we serve a God that doesn't change, that we serve an unchanging God in an ever-changing world. And I'm thankful for that. He continues and always will be our anchor, and he will never change. So tonight's topic is same God, new year. Throughout history, we see God as many things, right? A peacemaker, a healer, a restorer, a builder, a provider, a giver, among a few things that God is. And we often talk about what God did, who he was. We talk about David defeating Goliath, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, and he was there too, and Moses parting the Red Sea. And we often talk about, like what I said, what God did, and yet we fail to see that if he did it before, he can do it today, that miracles still happen. God still does the unbelievable. Just like the Red Sea was parted then, God can make a way when there seems to be no way now. And just like God answered Elijah when he was praying for fire to fall down, and he was praying that it would come down right there, right? Just like that happened then, God can answer us in a timely manner now. And just like Lazarus was brought back to life then, God can restore our souls and bring us from life to death now. If he did it yesterday, he can do it today. And so we need to start proclaiming who God is. In Hebrews 13, 8 through 9, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But then it goes on to say, so do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't even help those who follow them. And we often quote the first part, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I find it so interesting that the very next line says, so don't be attracted by strange new ideas. Don't be set off by things that are coming at you that aren't of God, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the message that stays the same. The method, yeah, it changes. But Jesus is the same, no matter what. If he did it yesterday, he can do it today. Tonight, there are four areas that God just really pressed on my heart to share about who God is. And I say that because I know that there are many. This just happens to be the ones that God is talking to me about. And so if he's teaching me, you're going to hear what he's teaching me tonight. And so let's pray. God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for the many firsts that are happening this month. And we put you first in this night, in our lives. And I just ask that you would speak through your servant tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that God is really just showing me is that he is the God that saves. When we hear God saves in a literal sense and being in church right now, we may think about how, yes, God has saved me. Being saved means our sins are forgiven and God has given us new life. We are Christians because we have been saved, right? In John 3, verse 7, it says, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and he says, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. So even Jesus was telling us that we have to be born again, we have to be saved. And being saved, we have to also realize that being saved is nothing by which we and by any human efforts have done. It's because of who God is that we're saved. In Ephesians, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not from ourselves. It's the gift of God." And if you look in the Bible, there are many scriptures. If you do a word study on saved, many come up. And a lot in the Old Testament, David's prayers are often like this. In Psalm 6:4, it says, "Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love." And then in Psalm 17, he writes, "Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand, those who take refuge in you from their foes." So in these kind of passages, David is talking about deliverance, about helping him through a situation, that the Lord will save me. Please, Lord, save me. And that's what led me to this passage, a passage that I've read numerous times, and you've probably heard numerous times, but here we are. And it really struck me this time. And this is why I love the Word of God, because you can read the same passage of Scripture and God will reveal something from it based off of what you're going through at the time, right? So in Matthew 14, we're going to start at verse 22. It says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith. Why did you doubt?' And they got in the boat, and the winds calmed down." Lord, save me. I don't know why, but those words just really stuck out to me this past week. I don't know why I never caught those words before. I was always focused on the drowning part. I was like, "Yep, Peter, I get it. I get you, Peter. You know, I understand what's happening right now." You see, Peter knew who to cry out to. He knew who Jesus was. Peter had faith to step out. And I believe that this year is going to be a year of faith for many people in the city church, in the kingdom of God. I believe that people are going to step out into areas that they've never stepped out before in faith. I believe the church in itself is going to have territory that we've never been on before, but we're going to step out and we're going to trust Jesus in faith. And we have to know who to turn to. We have to know that Jesus still saves. You know, situations happen and we know what to do because we hear it all the time. We speak it. We read it. We say, "God is God. He's good. He's going to come through. God is the God that delivers. God is the God that saves." And yet, when we're in situations that we've never been in before, what do? We begin to doubt, and we doubt what we know to be true. But hear this, Peter didn't step out on his own. He asked Jesus first. So he stepped out with Jesus's yes. He said, "If it's you, Lord, tell me to come out." And Jesus says, "Come." So many times we start doing something out of faith, but we haven't even talked to God about it. He said, "Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come." And Jesus said, "Yes." And that's when Peter stepped out. So Peter stepped out to a yes from Jesus, and yet he still doubted and needed him to save him. See, some of you have stepped out into a season to what Jesus has called you, and you begin to doubt halfway through that Jesus really called you to do this. But I'm telling you tonight, the same God that saved Peter, that told Peter yes to come, is the same God that will save you from your doubt, from your disbelief, from your sinking, from your discouragement. All you have to say is, "Lord, save me." And he'll reach down and he'll say, "Come on." Because he wants you to know, and me to know, that we can't walk on water in our own strength. We need him to step out in faith and to walk on water. We can't do it on our own. The minute Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, that's when he started sinking. He was thinking he was doing it by himself. But when he was looking at Jesus, he knew where his strength was coming from. So God is the God that saves. The second thing is, God is a God who guides. So perhaps one of the coolest dates that I've ever been on, and yes, it was with Ben, we were in Nashville, and Pastor actually had told us about they have these food tours in big cities. And so I'm like, oh, that sounds really cool. It sounds like right up my alley, you know, like I love food. I love going to new places and trying new things. I'll try it once, and then after that, if I don't like it, I'm not trying it again. But anyway, so we're on this food tour, right? It was the coolest experience. We went around Nashville to some of the hottest spots for food and dessert. It was hot, but it was so fun. And we had a guide that walked with us and told us history about where we were going and showed us the cool spots to go and where to take our pictures and the meaning behind different restaurants that we were going to. And sometimes we would just mindlessly follow her and look around because we knew that she knew the way. And though we were skeptical at first because we had to meet her at a railroad station, we were like, oh, it's a little sketchy. We ended up trusting her judgment by the end because she knew what she was doing. She knew Nashville. She knew where she was going. And she was our guide. A guide is a person who advises or shows others the way. In Proverbs 16:9, it says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Reading the scripture throughout the years, a lot of times to young people, I've heard these questions in response to that scripture, and I've asked them myself, well, how will I know where to go? Where are we going, God? And why are we going there, right? We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And we want God to determine our steps. We want God to guide us. But how do we know that we're going the right way? Right? It's a valid question. Well, it has to do with the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. You see, we have to lean in onto the Holy Spirit. We may not have Jesus in human form, but we have a form of him in the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:11, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. And then in verse 14, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You see, the Holy Spirit will come and help us and direct us and guide us. David prayed this prayer. He said, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious Spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. No matter where God leads us, we can trust him as we lean into the Holy Spirit, that he will guide us every step of the way. We make the plans, but the Lord directs our step. You still haven't told me how to do that, Aaron. I know, because you've heard it before. I promise, you've heard it before. We can learn God's will for our lives as we learn more about him through prayer and through his word. You want to know God's will for your life? Get in the word. In Psalm 119:105, it says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You ever gone camping? Super dark in the middle of the night? What do you need? A flashlight. That's where you're going to know where to go. And we have it right here. Psalm 119, it says it. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. We want God to guide us. Know his word. When you have a question about what's going on, get in his word. If it's not in the book, don't take a second look. If it's in there, I promise you, you have a question, it's in the book. God will guide. He is the God who guides. He will provide. And we have to ask the Holy Spirit and get into the word. We serve a God who guides. Number three, He is the God of the unexpected. There's a quote that says, it's the unexpected that changes our lives. And when I think back about my life and everything, big changes that happened among my in my life came from the unexpected. The unexpected. I was never a girl growing up that thought, oh, I want to get married someday and have kids and live in a house. Like, that just wasn't me. I know some girls are. That's cool. I never was like that. Unexpected changed my life. When I began to, you know, really see Ben in my future, I was like, whoa, unexpected. Changed my life. Different things throughout my life when, you know, God really came in and changed my life. It was in an elevator. Unexpected. Wasn't thinking anything. I was going, talk about a turnaround. I wasn't even going in the direction God had for me. It was the unexpected. And I love this story. Again, it's Peter. I love Peter. In Acts 12, King Herod had arrested him, and he was in prison because he was just doing that to all the Christians. And so Peter was in prison. And before we read about the story, it's important to note this verse. Just remember this as we go on to the story. It says, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed for him earnestly. Okay, so the church was praying for Peter in prison. So Peter's in prison. He's about to be placed on trial. He was asleep with chains on him, and an angel came and woke him up. The chains were released, and he followed the angel out of the jail cell, down the street, and he thought it was a dream. He thought he was having a vision. This was, you know, because he was asleep, right? So he thought he was having this vision. And then when he came to, he realized, wait, this is really happening. I'm not in jail anymore. I have no chains on my hands. I'm free. And meanwhile, this is where we catch up on the story. In verse 12, it says, when he realized this, when he realized that he was out of prison, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. They were praying for him. He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, Peter's standing at the door. You're out of your mind, they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. He's still there. He's still knocking. And when they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. You see, they were praying for Peter, and then they didn't believe the miracle that was standing right in front of them. It was right in front of their face, literally. And they didn't believe that was actually happening. And I love to imagine Peter's face, because in my mind, Peter's just a real guy, right? When the girl came to the window, and he's probably like, let me in. And the girl's like, what? And he runs away, right? She runs away, and he's like, okay, I'm still here. I just think that's so funny to me. It was the unexpected. Yet that's what they were praying for to happen. And it was right in front of their face. Like, I love the testimony that Ben McDonald shared a couple Sundays ago. Miracles still happen. The unexpected still happens. And even he was like, it's hard to believe. You know, I want to look at my arm and I don't even want to believe it because it's so unexpected. But the miracle is right in front of them. For some of you, the miracle is right in front of you that all you have to do is reach out and grab it. It's like you keep praying and praying. God's like, it's there. Trust me. It's right there. God is the God of the unexpected. He's still in the miracle business. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And lastly, God is the God that works it out. Think about your life up until now. Really think about how God worked out situations that you never thought would be possible. Now think about all the things you didn't see that God worked out. Maybe there was an accident on a road that you were going to take and you didn't. Maybe there was a man or a woman that you were going to marry and God saved you from that. Maybe you were going to move to a different place and you just felt like, no, I gotta be redirected. all those moments that God was working it out. When we say things like, He makes a way when there seems to be no way, we really believe that. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you or abandon you." He will personally go ahead of you. He goes before you. He makes a way. I couldn't help but think about Ruth and Boaz in the story or in the book of Ruth. Don't you think that God was in the details up into that point? Ruth was married to Naomi's son. Her husband dies. She was supposed to go back to her homeland. She says, "No, I'm going to stay with Naomi." All for her to meet Boaz, which changed her life. God was working it all out. And what about Joseph and the famine? Joseph was in the pit by his brothers, laughed at, mocked, sold into slavery, all for him to end up as head over everything when the famine happened. Don't you think that God was working out the details when he was in the pit? Because he was working it out. Don't think that for one second that God isn't working it out for whatever it is that you're going through. Because he is. He's still God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's working it out. In Isaiah 43:16-19, it says, "I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Don't you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." You see, he's already making a pathway for you. He's already creating rivers where it seems to be dry. He's already working things out, even when you don't see it. I thought of this, and I know this is going to age me, because I asked my son if he's ever seen this game. Go ahead, go. Yeah. I don't know if you're old enough to remember these games. It's a little square, and you have to move the squares around to finally see the picture. So if you look at the smiley face one on the bottom there, you can't tell what it was. But you have to move all the squares around, right? And I looked at that and I thought of that and I thought, that's exactly what God is doing. He knows what the picture is supposed to be like. He's just working. He's working it out. He's moving the squares. He's moving things around. He's adjusting your life so that it works out. We've been singing this song in my house and it goes like this.
God will work it out. God will work it out. One thing I know, one thing I found, is that God will work it out. God will work it out. God will work it out. One thing I know, one thing I found, is that God will work it out.
See, he's working it out today. He's moving the pieces around. He's creating something that maybe when you look at it, you can't see it, but he's working it out. Give him your lives today. Give your heart to him, your dreams, your visions, your goals, your family, your kids. He's working it out. Give your lives, give everything to him, and know that he is for you. He's not against you. He has your back. He goes before you. He's working it out. He's still holy. He's still sovereign. He's still God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In an ever-changing world, minute by minute, we seem to have new changes happening, right? But not God. He's our anchor. He's the same God. He's the God who saves, the God who guides, the God of the unexpected, and the God who works it out. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that we can turn to you. I thank you that we can trust you. I thank you, God, that you are our anchor. That no matter what happens around us, God, that you are still God. That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you are still in the miracle business. That you are the God of the unexpected. God, open up our eyes. Let us have faith to believe. Let us have faith to step out. And let us trust you more than we trust anything else or anyone else, God. We trust you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on, can you put your hands together for the Lord tonight? Aaron, come stand down front. Just an incredible, incredible word tonight. I want, Ben, come on up with your wife. And if you need prayer tonight before you leave, maybe you're in that space where you haven't, it's right in front of you, but you haven't taken that step and just said, I want that. God wants to help you with that. And I'm going to close in prayer. And if that's you, I just want you to come down before you leave tonight. Let them pray with you. Father, I'm so grateful for the word of the living God tonight. It touches and changes and transforms lives. Lord, I pray for everyone here tonight that as this word has come to our hearts, Lord, that we will leave here knowing you're going to work it all out. We thank you for it, and we give you praise for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said a big amen. How many of you appreciate Pastor Aaron? Amen. Hey, we're glad you're here tonight. Those of you that are watching online, we love you. God bless you. We're here for you. God bless you. If you need prayer, come on down tonight, okay? Okay.